to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to start here in just a moment, down in verse 7. Since we started this series this week, we pretty well know what we're preaching for the next several weeks to go. But some weeks, whenever you sit down to study, you learn things that you didn't expect to learn. And this was one of those kind of weeks. Whenever you look at love as kind, we get kind of a wrong conception. And I want to make sure we don't get it wrong tonight. This kind, or this part of kindness, is not about someone who's nice and courteous. That's not the thought here. This type of kindness carries with it, it's a kindness that's willing to share and to do what's right and to treat you right, to put it in better words, even to a fault. Normally you see some people that are so kind that they can easily be taken advantage of. That's this type of kindness. The Greek word works off of some other root words. One of the root words means to be useful or to be used. Normally when we think of being used by someone else, it's not positive. Sometimes this type of kindness, you might even, if we're thinking in a fleshly mindset, it sounds stupid. We're not people who like to be taken advantage of. But that's this type of kindness. If you notice, within the church at Corinth, they had a whole sea of problems. But they were still God's people. And every single one of these words that's used in 1 Corinthians 13 applies directly to Corinth. That's why the Holy Spirit had it written directly to them. There were people, and we're going to take a look at a verse here in just a second, in 1 Corinthians 6, 7. They had all these lawsuits. I want to show you what the spiritual right thing to do was. To imagine you had a lawsuit brought up against you that had no lawful grounds. Notice what the answer is to spiritual people. Look at verse 7. He says, "Actually then, it is already a defeat for you that you have lawsuits with one another. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be defrauded?" Whenever you get two people who are dead set on whether it be money or anything else, of getting what's right, what they think is rightfully theirs, you will not find kindness. He tells them, "I'm hoping, I'm wishing, I'm really praying that someone will be spiritual among you who will say, I'll be defrauded. I'm willing to be wronged. I'm willing to sacrifice money than for somebody to tell me that I'm right." That's this type of kindness. We talk about love as sacrificial, this agape love. This takes a step forward. This idea behind kindness has no concern for self whatsoever. The fleshly mindset says, you'd better look out for yourself. The spiritual mindset in kindness is, I will only look out for you, even if it comes at a price. Love is kind. Now, we're going to take some time and first of all look at God as being kind. Now keep in mind, I'll probably say it several times, this kindness is not that nice person that you run into on the street. It's not that person who's courteous. This is someone who will sacrifice part of themselves for your betterment. Just like what you see here in Corinth. Will you give up on somebody telling you that you're right? Will you be willing to pay out money for something that you're not wrong on? That's kindness. Now, let's look at it with God first. Look over at Luke chapter 6 and look down at verse 35. Luke chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus has been telling them about, you know, it's more than just loving those that love you. It's more than just helping those that help you. And in verse 35, he says, but love your enemies. Now, normally if you just stop right there, we think, all right, love your enemies. We go, okay, I'll love them. You know, love comes with some fruits to go with it. It's got some actions that are going to be right behind it. The only thing about love your enemies, okay, we'll do that. Here's what loving your enemies is. Look at the rest of verse 35. He says, and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Now stop right there. This is where the fleshly mindset starts to say, this is stupid. You mean lend money without even expecting the money back? We're not just talking about lending it and then not getting any interest back on it. He's saying, you need to lend and not expect anything in return. That's this type of kindness. This is not difficult to understand, but it may be difficult to accept. He says, and your reward will be great. God says, because now you're starting to see things and live like me. Then, he says, and you will be sons of the Most High. You want to know how God's children react? They don't just lend and say, all right, now I'm going to be nice to you, and because I want what's best for you, I won't charge you any interest on the money that I'm lending to you. Those that love, notice he's talking about loving your enemies. These are not your friends. These are not like someone who said, oh man, you know, you're such a good friend of mine, I'd do anything for you. How about, you know, you just pay back what I give you? No. He says, don't worry about paying me back, period. I'm giving to you. Giving without expecting you to return to me. That's this type of kindness. He says, people who love their enemies like that, it's almost like you see God saying here through Jesus, welcome to the way I work. We don't always think of God like that. Here's where it gets even a step harder. He says, you will be sons of the Most High. How good of a reward is that for you? He says, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Now, if you gave a lump sum of money to your friend and you said, you know what, you don't have to pay me back, you would kind of think, you know, they're going to say, man, you know, I don't know what I can ever do to say thank you to you. He says, if you're going to be kind like this, you give it to them, you tell them, you know what, you don't have to pay me back, and they go, okay. Ungrateful people. God says, don't you know this is the way I give? I don't expect things in return, and I don't even get told thank you. Yet I still do it. Like I said, this stuff is not hard to understand, but it may be hard to accept. That's why this week, you start to study through things like this, it makes you go, boy, I don't know God the way I thought I did. Because this is God. This is the way He works. Let me show you another example. That's just one part of it. Look back at Matthew chapter 5. It's really the same topic. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Even 43. It says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." It says, "You've heard you should love your neighbor." Well, we easily toss up, well, of course we're going to love our neighbor. That means that, you know, whenever someone moves in and do you harm, you treat them right. That's what that means. It means a whole lot more than that. Look at verse 44 now. He says, "But I say to you," he says, now it's time for something different. He says, God told you what was right, that you should love your enemies, but it's time for you to gain a better understanding of what he was really going after. He says, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." You mean I'm to ask God to bless people who are ungodly? Yes. But what do they give to me? Evil. Well, why would I do that? That's stupid. You really want to call God stupid? Look at verse 45. He says, "You do that so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven." Once again, do you see that kindness is really one of the central things behind this relationship that we have with God? Have you noticed that if we're not going to work off of kindness, God says, "I won't claim you as my child"? This is more than just being a good person. This is our inheritance and our relationship with God on the line. If we become people who say, "Well, I'll do good to people who do good to me," we normally think of that being kindness, but it's not. Here's what he really goes after. Look at the rest of verse 45. It says, "For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." What is this? He causes it to happen. You ever wonder who causes sunshine and who causes rain? Normally, whenever it's a beautiful day out, people pray, "Thank you for a beautiful day." And when it rains on a day that you wanted to go out and do something that you really hope to do, maybe we're not so thankful. But it's needed. You know, God sends the rain on the ungodly the same way as he does the godly. He doesn't say, "You know what, it's just going to rain on the crops that are of the saints." He gives, and people are ungrateful. They could care less. Taking advantage of God. God's used every day without exception. Sunshine. You know what? There are sunny days on the beach, even with ungodly people, just like there are with godly people. But God says, "I'm going to give to you, and I don't expect anything in return. I don't give it to you so that you'll go, 'You know what? I want to serve you.'" He says, "I give and I don't expect anything in return. Even if you never say thank you, I will still give. I'll still go after it. And you can't stop me." That's this type of kindness. If you notice, it continues. He goes on and says in verses 46 and 47, he says, "You know what? If you just love those people, if you just sacrifice for people who sacrifice for you, you're no better than a pagan. You have grown zero. There is nothing there." Sometimes we think because we love people that love us, we think we've really grown somewhere. He says, "You know, dead people outside of Christ do that all the time. That's nothing to brag about." says, whenever you're willing to be taken advantage of and to be used to benefit somebody who will not say thank you or be grateful about it, now you're showing kindness. Boy, if you've ever been in any position where you really had to go out of your way to help and nobody said thank you and you threw a pity party, you don't know God. And I don't either, if that's my response. Because that's kindness. And we better check our motives too. Now, once again in verse 48, look at what he ties this to. It says, therefore you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. It's time for you to be kind like he is. You want somebody to learn from? You don't have to just pick it out of the air. Just take some time and look at God. He gives all the time. You know what? He gives healthy children to people who have never praised him in any way, shape, form, or fashion other than to use his name in vain. Ungrateful and evil people. And yet he continues to give, and he will not deviate off of that. That's our God. Now, we look at that and we start to wonder, how am I going to do that? If you think of Galatians 5:22, it talks about the fruit. Notice it's just one fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. That's the only thing that the Spirit will grow. It will not grow anything else other than love. He goes on to explain it. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Talked about patience this morning. Kindness. If you're not working off of the Spirit of God, you will never come to this kind of kindness or this type of kindness. It will never happen. I can guarantee it. Because fleshly people look at this and they say, why would I ever be taken advantage of knowing it? If you've ever had a situation where you know the people would have said, you know, you got taken advantage of there, and you said, well, if I'd have known it was going to turn out like that, I'd have done it different. That's not this type of kindness. This type of kindness says, you know what? I knew I was going to be taken advantage of, but I loved them anyway. Like I said, it's not hard to understand, but it may be hard to accept for us. Now, knowing that the Spirit of God will fuel this thing, here's where it gets difficult. Whenever we try to take on an attitude like that, you can't play that kind of attitude. We're not that good of actors. And to try and do it without the Spirit of God is hopeless. It'll never happen. You can't even put on a show that good. Unless the Spirit of God's working in us, we'll never show this type of kindness. Now, knowing that, look down at what was read a few minutes ago by Dave. Look over at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and I want you to look down at verse 12. It doesn't just happen one day. You wake up and you say, you know what? I'm going to be exactly like God today. Good thought. But if it changed that easy, well, we'd be a whole lot better off. But we wouldn't learn. Verse 12. He says, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved. These are the people that God chose. Talking to those people at Corinth, at Colossae. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Notice he tells them, we're just going to deal with one of these, the heart of kindness. He says, you will have to put it on. Luckily this morning, all of us decided when we got up that we would put on clothing. Might be kind of embarrassing if we didn't. That was a choice. We had a choice. It's embarrassing if you choose the other, but it's a choice. It was something to be put on. A heart of kindness has to be put on. It doesn't happen naturally. It's not like you walk outside the door and then all these cotton fibers all come together and all of a sudden you got shirt and pants. Sounds stupid, doesn't it? I think sometimes that's the way we expect kindness to grow in us. It'll just happen. Paul told them, you're going to have to make an honest effort at it. Because you're going to want within you to go after what you deserve. You're going to want within you for people to tell you thank you all the time. You're going to want within you for people to give back to you what you gave to them. But that's not putting on a heart of kindness. Now, notice, here's part of how kindness works. Look at the next verse, verse 12. He says, bearing with one another. You know, that takes kindness. Whenever you bear with someone else and they don't give you what you deserve, you kind of have to tolerate some things with them. That's kindness. It's also some of these other things of patience and gentleness and humility. Forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. You ever had a complaint with somebody? Yeah, I think we all could raise our hand pretty quick on that one. Give us a piece of paper, we can write a whole bunch down. Says, you ever had a complaint against somebody? How they never treated you right? How they only treated you wrong? If you ever let those complaints change the way you treat them, you haven't put on the heart of kindness. Because kindness is stubborn. But it's a good stubborn. It says, I'm not going to change. I'm going to keep on giving to you even when it hurts. Even whenever it causes me pain. Can you imagine if Jesus going to the cross would have said, you know what? I'll sacrifice myself until I see some pain. Boy, he wouldn't have made it out of the upper room. That's kindness. It's giving to where fleshly-minded people would say, that's stupid. He says, can you forgive? God does. He forgave you. He showed you kindness. Can you just give a little bit of what God's already given to us? Once again, notice what he comes back to in 14. Beyond all these things, put on love. Notice that love has to be put on too. It's the source of all these other things in verses 12 and 13. It says, you know what you'll have? Unity. He says, which is the perfect bond of unity. You want to know who it unifies? Us and God. Not just us and God's people. Now we're starting to work off of God's character. Now, we look at this. Boy, it's time to change. We have to put that thing on. I want to show you why. It's easy to look at these verses and go, well, you know, that sounds good. I'll give that a try. That's a bad place to be. Look over at Romans chapter 2. Look down at verse 4. Paul writes to the Jewish Christians there at Rome. He says, do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? It was the kindness of God that led you to change. Kind of goes to show you, if we'll be people who are kind-hearted like this, God can use us to help other people come to repentance. But whenever we only want what we've given, we're unusable. Verse 5. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. It says, you want to be stubborn and unrepentant? He says, just think lightly of what's been given to you. Just treat it like it's no big deal. Just act like because Christ died for me, oh, that's great and great. I'm thankful. But don't ask me to respond. Don't ask me to sacrifice like he did. Now, notice, stubbornness, unrepentant heart, he says, you're storing up wrath for yourself. Storing up wrath. He's not talking to outsiders here. He's talking to those Jews who had been sent outside of Rome, and then whenever Claudius died, they all come back. And they look at the Gentiles and say, oh, these people are horrible. He says, boy, you think lightly of all these things that God's done for you. You're storing up wrath for yourself. Boy, we need to become a grateful people. And not just take it so lightly of what God's done. Look at verse 6. He says, who will render to each person according to his deeds? There's going to be a time where God pays out what's deserved, what they've earned. I'd rather have the kindness. Verse 7. To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Man, those people who continue to seek after good, humbleness is part of that, and part is kindness. Eternal life. Notice verse 8. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation. Selfishly ambitious. Let me show you the opposites. Kindness. Selfishly ambitious. Everything's about self. Selfish people will never sacrifice for somebody else other than themselves. Selfish people will never put on kindness. Ever. Until something changes. You can't hold on to both. And he says, if you're working off of selfish ambition, you're storing up wrath for yourself. It's easy to look at kindness and say, good idea. I don't think I can do it. What we don't realize is we're saying, I don't think the Spirit of God's that powerful within me. Need to do some thinking on that. Now, if we are not God's children in showing kindness like this, God says, you're not my child. You just say you are. You're good at talking. How about sacrificing? How about kindness? And it's not like God's asking us to do something that hadn't already done for millenniums. Boy, I've shared this with you before. It seems like it'd be so great to be God at points. There are other times where I'm so glad I'm not him. To think if he sends the sunshine and the rain on the earth, 8 billion people? How many of those people even say thank you? Boy, what if you did 1 million things in one day and only had a handful of people even turn and say, you know, I appreciate that. Do good, expecting nothing in return. That's kindness. God's worked off of that ever since the foundations of the world. Share one more thought with you, and then the lesson will be yours. Look over at Romans chapter 11. Look down at verse 22. Been talking about being grafted in, the unbelievers and the pagans coming into what's right and truth. He says, behold then the kindness and severity of God. He says there's two options. To those who fell, severity. They knew what was right. They knew they should have held on to kindness, but they didn't. Severity's coming. You may think it's difficult now to sacrifice. Boy, we'll sure be sorry then. But to you, God's kindness, if you continue in His kindness. Otherwise, you will also be cut off. So really, it's not a choice of, will I be kind or will I not be kind? God will be okay with both. It's the choice of, if I don't choose to put on this heart, God's going to give me severity. If I choose to put it on, He'll continue to show me the same kindness. You see this principle all along. God says, how you treat other people is how I'll treat you. You treat them with kindness, I'll do the same for you. Not the nice and courteous kind, but the kind that doesn't expect anything in return. That's what we're talking about here. I know if you're like me, you're thinking, boy, I need to be stretched. I need to be stretched real far. And the Spirit of God can do that in us if we'll allow it to work. Not hard to understand, but it may be hard to accept. But it's true. And that's what we've been given. God's given it to us our whole life. And now He says, I just want you to show it for the rest of yours. If there's anyone here tonight, if we can be of any aid, will you come? While you stand and sing.